You know, before we start, my heart's been for Israel. You know, a lot of things are happening in the Middle East that puts the whole attention, the whole world's attention is on the Middle East right now. We got Hamas, we have the IDF soldiers, we have the leadership in Israel, and we have all the other nations that are surrounding Israel. It's just a small, very small piece of land, and they're surrounded by enemies. But you know what the Bible says about Israel? That Israel will continue to exist as long as this earth and the sun continue to exist. Amen. So Israel will not be destroyed. Israel has a purpose in God's plan. He has a purpose for us. So as we read Matthew 23, to 39, this is Jesus walking going to Jerusalem. So it starts off like this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. Verse 35, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah. That takes care of all the prophets from the book of Genesis all the way to Zechariah. Malachi died of a ripe old age, it is told. So Jesus is going to require this generation to be accountable to that. on verse 36, surely I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. What a sad thing for Jesus to say. He tells his own people, Jesus is Jewish. We're here, we believe in Christianity, we believe in Jesus because of the Jews, how they stayed faithful to the word of God, how they wrote it down, but all through their life, they were stubborn people. Now, speaking of the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy 7:7-9 tells us, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were numerous than all the other people, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your fathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. God chose Israel. They didn't choose him. They were continually stubborn, and yet God kept saving them and redeeming them. God chose the nation of Israel to be the people through whom Jesus Christ would be born, the Savior from sin and death. John 3:16. God first promised the Messiah after Adam and Eve's fall into sin. Genesis chapter 3. God later confirmed that the Messiah would come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis 12:1-3. Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason why God chose Israel to be his special people. God did not need to have a chosen people, but he decided to do it that way. Jesus had come from some nation of people, and God chose Israel. So it's all God's doing. This is God choosing a nation who didn't want to be chosen, not because they were big, not because they were bad, not because they were the strongest, but they were actually the weakest, the smallest nation. But God chose them. He had a purpose, just like he has a purpose for us. However, God's reason for choosing the nation Israel was not solely for the purpose of producing the Messiah. God's desire for Israel was that they would go and teach others about him. We were supposed to be blessed. Israel was to be a nation of priests, prophets, and missionaries to the world. God's intent was for Israel to be a distinct people, a nation who pointed others towards God and his promised provision of a Redeemer, Messiah, and Savior. For the most part, Israel failed in this task. However, God's ultimate purpose for Israel, that of bringing the Messiah into the world, was fulfilled perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. So is God done with Israel? We know the answer to that, right? No. Clearly, Jesus says there is coming a time when the Jewish people would say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But we just read, because when we read it in Matthew, when he came, was going to Jerusalem, and they laid the palms down, the branches, and he walked through Israel. And they were saying, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But his people, some people recognized him, but these people didn't. Jesus told them the next time this happens is going to be way ahead in the future. Way ahead. It's found in Zechariah. Jesus laments over Jerusalem. This is not in Zechariah. I'm reading again in 24. Oh, I just read that. Okay, here it is. Here it is again, 37, Matthew 37. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The next time this happens is during the 7-year tribulation. Jesus is their Messiah, yet their stubbornness, envy, and hatred of Jesus blinded them. Romans 11:1 says, "I say then, has God cast away his people?" This is in Romans. Has God cast away his people? No, he hasn't. "I say then, certainly not. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded, just as it is written. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day." And David says, "Let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them." Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always. So God closed their eyes. Oh, it feels good. So God closed their eyes, but for our benefit. Because since they refused their Messiah on that day and they tried to kill him, the whole Sadducees, Pharisees, and our pastor has been talking about it every week, how they tried to trap Jesus. They asked him this. They tried to trap him so they could arrest him and kill him. So then, going back on Romans, I say then, they have stumbled that they should, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Us. We're the Gentiles. Each and every one of us is a Gentile. So when Israel refused to accept their Messiah, that ushering, we're in the age of grace. Right now, God is asking, gathering a people to himself, a people who were not called his people, and a people who didn't know him. He calls them. That's us. That's us. We're in this age of grace where I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know as we keep reading that there's going to be a time when Israel is going to be judged and the world. But you're going to be surprised what Israel does during the seven-year tribulation, because that's the only time they're going to see Jesus again. When they're going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the only time they're going to see them again. So, Israel rejected, not find. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches to the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fulfillment? Here it is. I want you to listen to this. In Revelation 7 reads, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Can you imagine 144,000 super evangelists getting let loose on the world? Can you imagine what 12 did? What did 12 do? They changed the world. Man, can you imagine 144,000 super Christians, but they're Jews? We're Jews inwardly. We're circumcision of the heart. That really makes me sad, because I know God's word is true. Ain't that amazing? But that's not it. That's not it. I get excited. And I heard the number. Okay, let loose on the world. Remember what 12 did? There will be such a revival. Of course, Jesus said in Revelation 24, 21, and 22, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. We are, like I said, we are in the dispensation of grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11 says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Is anybody awake when a thief comes? You would like to be awake, right? Or even a carjacking, well, you don't see them coming. If you're in New York, you wouldn't see those coming, even if you're a congressman. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, talking about you, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, but not you, brothers and sisters, not you, church, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us, here it is, I want you to hear this, God did not appoint us to wrath. We're not going to face the tribulation. God didn't appoint us to wrath. But check it out. If you're not saved, if you're walking wishy-washy. If you're walking on both sides, guess what? When we get changed in the twinkling of an eye, guess who's going to get left behind? That's a scary thought. The Bible clearly tells us as Christians, we should always be looking up. That should encourage every single one of us to be doing the Lord's work. That's why missionaries do what they do. That's why Wendy does what she does with the radio station. I love it. Wendy's over there preaching on her radio station. That's why many of you do what you do for God. You're working for the Lord. And if you're not, when he comes, you just might get left behind. You know? But as long as you believe in Jesus, you're saved. You're sealed. Just like this 144,000 were sealed. What were they sealed with? The Holy Spirit. What are we sealed with? The Holy Spirit. So guess what? When the rapture comes and the Holy Spirit is taken away, which ushers in the seven-year tribulation, it's going to be pandemonium here. Like, I mean, I read this whole book a couple of days ago. The Great Disappearance. I know you guys seen the commercials. I know you guys seen the commercials. And they show all kinds of people disappearing in cameras. They say, David Jeremiah says that the whole world's going to capture it on film. All right? I Googled this. I Googled the fastest high-speed camera that can move their shutter a trillion times a second. Guess what? When we get taken away, we're going to be faster than that. Isn't that amazing? So I just get excited about it, you know. I know he's coming. I know Israel, God has a purpose for them. Oh, yeah. I know he has a purpose for them. And I'm just wondering, you know. I don't know how the Israel is going to save, but I know everyone gets saved by the word of God. Am I right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to share something a little bit. Don't go. When I was in prison, I got saved. All right. I was in a cell with someone who I didn't know, but I knew he was a Christian. All he did was read the word of God. I listened. I heard it. Finally, I talked with him. And I said, well, who is this God? I knew, kind of knew who he was, but I didn't know if he was right for me. Well, evidently he was, because that was my journey into being a Christian over 20 years ago. You know, there's been a lot of missteps. There's been a lot of take two steps forward, go one step back. But you know what? I'm real glad. I'm real assured because my God can keep me. What he started in my life, he's going to finish it to the day of Jesus Christ. Just like for every single one of you. He's going to finish it. That amazing? All we have to do is be obedient. Lord, what do you want me to do? When are you going to come? David Jeremiah in his book talks about this word imminent. Imminent is like the word soon. You know, we can see things stacking up. We can see the stage being set. We can see things that are happening. That's why I brought up Israel and how seems like the whole world is coming against Israel. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go through the tribulation. Isn't that amazing? But if you're left behind, you're going to have to go through a dark, dark way, wrath. God's wrath. Philip ministered to an Ethiopian in Acts. In the book of Acts. Philip, after Jesus had died, Philip was a minister. He was an apostle. The Holy Spirit told him, I want you to go next to this guy on this chariot. This guy was the Ethiopian eunuch. You guys know what an eunuch is, right? Gets castrated, so I guess he's more faithful, more trusted. But this guy was someone to do with the treasury, so they needed to do that. They needed someone they could trust. This guy was reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. As he was reading it, Philip came alongside the chariot and asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian said, "How can I? No one can explain it to me." And Philip ended up explaining to him about Jesus Christ and who he was and how Isaiah fit in it. And the next thing you know, he says he wants to get baptized. He got baptized and he got saved. So I wonder, this is me thinking, I wonder what part of Scripture is 144,000, as soon as they read it, their eyes are going to be open. I don't know what part of Scripture, but I know that's in that past that has saved the Ethiopian. You know, that's our suffering servant. Which brings me to the point that I hope if you guys, none of you are saved, because this is important. If any of you aren't saved, I want this scripture to really minister to you. This is God's word. This is not me. This is God's word. Right? He's going to minister to you. The Holy Spirit's going to minister to you. I know when I came to Christ and I didn't believe, the Holy Spirit put so much burden on me, like I was being crushed. I had nowhere but to look up. And there was my cellie reading the Word of God. You know, it didn't happen to me in a heartbeat, in an instant. I didn't have lights and everything come out. You know, it wasn't like I was shining. You know, it was a progression. I had to read the Word of God. I had to understand it. I had to take it in. I had to trust Him. I had to find out what pleases God. Each and every single one of us, once you understand Christ, Jesus, do this and that for me. I need help in this. And that's valid. But how many of you say, "Lord, what can I do for you? How can I bless you? How can I bless your heart?" You know, as I read Isaiah 53, I actually cried because it's my suffering Savior. Let's read it, okay? I want this Word of God to really reach you, encourage you, and see Jesus in these words. Isaiah 53 has sparked debate amongst rabbis for centuries. Most Jewish people don't know the passage or whom it refers to. You believe that? Amongst the Jewish community, there is no consensus on what this passage is about. People either have not read it, accept the status quo, believe it's irrelevant, or are indifferent. But when Jews think about Isaiah and what they do with this passage, directly impacts how the Jewish people view Scripture in light of God's promises. The traditional response to Isaiah 53, according to a rabbi. Isaiah 53 does not appear in synagogue calendar readings, but its obscurity, its presence in the shadows and the silence surrounding it shouts its importance. Its omission from the synagogue readings points to its uniqueness. One Jewish scholar, Claude Montefiore, explained, because of the Christological interpretation given to the chapter by Christians, means by us, how we define it. We know it's about our Savior, but they don't read it because they know we're saying it's about our Savior, so they don't want to read it because they refuse to accept that they actually were part of crucifying Jesus. Christian interpretation given to the chapter by Christians is omitted from the series of prophetical lessons for the Deuteronomy Sabbath. The omission is deliberate and striking. This is what they say. This is what a rabbi says. We left out a portion of our prophets because of what Christians think about it. Why is the omission so striking? Because when Jews finish the cycle of readings for the year, they haven't really finished it. Rabbis have left out a portion of their own prophets ostensibly because of what Christians think about it. So we do have an impact. And this might play a small part in God's plan to drive them to jealousy. You read in the Old Testament or the Torah, you talk to a Jewish person, you tell them their words, and say, how do you know that? Because I read your word. Because I read your Torah. Because I believe in the same God. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe he came. That's why Jesus, when he walked, he said, you won't see me again till the 7-year tribulation, and then you're going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That amazing? When they read, I'm not saying they're going to read the book of Isaiah. Some part of scripture is God is going to open their eyes. Some part of scripture is going to be, bam, into their heart. And all of a sudden their eyes are going to be open and say, we missed him. He is our Savior. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah. He is their Messiah. They're finally going to understand. And like we were talking about this 144,000, they are going to change the world. The angels are waiting to reap the fruit from the earth. They're going to reap it, and then God is really going to have his wrath come down on those, on the Antichrist and his prophet and all those who have taken the mark. You know, I was listening to Jack Hibbs. So remember when the pandemic came and everyone wanted to, people were saying, don't take the shot. It's the mark of the beast. Oh, you got the mark of the beast. Oh, you got it. What happens if your roommate gives you a shot and it's the vaccine? Does that mean you got the mark of the beast? No, the mark of the beast is something that you know you're not going to be able to buy, sell, trade, do anything. You're not going to feed your family. And in order to get it, you're going to have to worship the beast. It's his mark. Exactly, it's his mark. So the vaccine wasn't the mark. You know, I didn't get it. But I didn't get it for reasons because I didn't like someone telling me what to do except God. Right? I mean, I'm stubborn too. Someone tells me what to do. What for? Why? How does this benefit me? So, you know, I guess I'm part Israeli, right? So I'm going to keep reading on this, and we might have time to read Isaiah, and then we'll stop, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. But it's only because, okay, Leah, this is a Christian lady, a Christian young woman. Leah was a 25-year-old Jewish woman who was searching for answers to her spiritual questions. When faced with the question, was Jesus who he claimed to be? She wanted the answer to be no. Leah confessed, I'm starting to see that Jesus is the Messiah. But if I accept it, I'm also rejecting my father, who did not believe in Jesus. I loved him more than anyone else in the world. She tells herself, I can't do it. I can't believe in Jesus because I love my dad. When she was challenged to read Isaiah 53, Leah found her dad's old, faded Tanakh. Opening it to the passage in question, she made two astounding discoveries. First, the passage really did sound like it was describing Jesus. And second, her father had circled the entire chapter. And in the margin, he had written messianic prophecy. that amazing? Messianic prophecy. Yeshua is Messiah. Leah just had to ask, who is Yeshua? When she understood that Yeshua is the Jewish way to say Jesus, it dawned on her. It was a convincing passage indeed, and even her father had not been able to dismiss it. And that was the key part of what led her to acknowledge that Jesus fit the description of the suffering servant. Man. So as we read 53, may we be moved by your word, and may we be honestly by God's word. This is none of me. This is God's word. May you see Jesus as a suffering servant, as the one who gave his life for each and every one of us. He is our God. He is our Savior. And there is nothing that compares to him. And it's a privilege to not only believe in him, but to serve him. And he loves each and every one of us. He waits. He is so patient and kind that he waits for the last person to come to Jesus. And if you happen to be that last person who's preaching to someone about Jesus Christ, that might be it. That might be the last one. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, boom, you know, we're racing each other to the sky. Ain't that amazing? So it should encourage us to talk about Jesus, to speak about Jesus, to walk about Jesus, because he's our Savior. Let's read. We got enough time to do it. Behold, my servant, 53, Isaiah 53. Pretty sure you guys already went there. Let me read it anyways. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many, this is 52. Just as many were, this is only a small part of 52. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Now 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you see him? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked. But with the rich at his death, but he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord, to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. Have you seen him? Is the Holy Spirit ministering to you? Is a tear coming down your eyes? That's our Jesus, our Messiah. I may not be a Jew, but I'm one inwardly. I have this cross I bought as my support for Israel. It's the Star of David with a cross in the middle. You know, we're intertwined, the Gentiles and Israel. Our paths are going to meet in heaven for those that are in the final tribulation. But we don't have to face that if we're faithful, if we say, Lord, I believe. You know, I was going to read something from Dr. Jeremiah's, but we don't have enough time. I just want to share. He has this one phrase in this book by someone else. I don't know if it's, he says, as death finds you, eternity keeps you. What deep words. As death finds you, when you die, how it finds you in your state or condition, eternity is going to keep you. It's only appointed when a man wants to die, then the judgment. You know, last time I came up here, I gave a message about how we hardly ever see how the way God sees us. And it was an uplifting message. Mine's more of a somber. Spirit led me in a somber because the time is short. There's war going on. There's rumors of war. We see the stage being set. Are you rapture ready? That's what this book says. My wife got me a t-shirt the other day. It says, are you rapture ready? Oh, be rapture ready. She got me a t-shirt that said, are you rapture ready? Neil, when we were in there praying, I think we were in there praying or one service, I wore that t-shirt, and he asked me, are you rapture ready? I said, yeah! I might have said it with not that much enthusiasm, but I am. Because I believe in Jesus, and he's going to carry me, he's going to carry you. Am I right? Amen.